part of the bar mitzvah process and the bat mitzvah process is study. And we study together as rabbis and cantors studying together with the bar and bat mitzvah candidates as they're preparing for months, encouraging them to read the scriptures closely and to think personally about how the scriptures touch their lives and apply to them. And then to prepare a message to bring forth a word from Torah, Devar Torah, that shares the insights that they have gained through the learning process together. It's a wonderful process. We get to know each other better through that. It's also a challenging process because it's often three-on-one. Yes, two rabbis and a cantor versus one bar mitzvah candidate or bat mitzvah. And we ask challenging questions. We challenge ideas. We encourage, but we also stir up. And we want the people who are preparing to think deeply and then to communicate well the things that are on their heart, the things that they see in scriptures. And this draws us close together. It really is a rewarding time. It involves a lot of time, a lot of human resources. However, it's worth it because it's a time of building up and encouragement. And you have seen the quality of the bar and bat mitzvah folk who have been here at the congregation and prepared and helped lead services and have spoken as well. And you've seen the quality of what they have. And it just is a great reward for us. So with that in mind, today's the day. Third time up here. Would you give a warm welcome to Nelson as he brings forward the word?
God bless you.
Well, Shabbat Shalom once again. First, I want to take the time to thank Rabbi David, Rabbi Yuri, and Cantor Aaron Jacobs for the last few months of preparation. I don't think I have enough words to say thank you for your dedication, for incredible patience, and for everything that was deposited in me. I really have grown immensely and was challenged to think even deeper about his word. I am eternally grateful. Before I start with the message, I want to share something with you. About 14 years ago, I was part of a congregation that I was attending, and a Jewish man came to me, and he gave me this talit. He said, "I don't know why, but the Holy Spirit asked me to give this to you." As you can imagine, I knew what it was, but if anyone knows me, I had a million questions after that. I waited and prayed, and I think it becomes as clear as water. Not today, a few years ago, but today is a culmination of a long walk that still not finished, but this is a constant reminder of God's faithfulness to me. I was 16 years when God knocked at my door through someone I knew, but I was so consumed with the things of this world that there was no room for anyone else. I grew up in a very Catholic home. Two of my aunts were nuns, and my uncle, who baptized me when I was a baby, was a priest. I saw their lives very, very close, and what they preach didn't exactly match the way they live. That really turned me away from anything that had to do with religion. 16 years later, I heard that call once again, but this time was in my heart, and my walk with him began. Today I stand in front of you proclaiming the words that Ruth spoke to Naomi. Your people are my people, and your God is my God. Today's Torah portion deals with idolatry and lack of faith. Both have been part of my life. But I am thankful for the transformation that has taken place, for being renewed and redeemed. It is also very rich, not only rich, but for me, it's a mirror of my own life. There is so much to learn, reflect upon, consider. And if we take a closer look at our ancestors, we will realize that the same things that plagued them remains the very thing that continues to affect our relationship with Elohim. In preparing for this study, one question continually kept coming up. How can our lives be changed? How can the experiences of our ancestors transform my life and in the process impact it and transform the lives of many others? How can the very thing that he has made clear to me at the very least make someone else think, reflect, and take inventory of their lives, considering what Adonai commands us to do? In today's Torah portion, we read in Deuteronomy 32, 3 and 4, "For I will proclaim the name of Adonai. Come, declare the greatness of our God, the rock. His work is perfect, for all his ways are just, a trustworthy God who does not wrong. He is righteous and straight." This is what we are called to do and obey. There are words that should become a way of life for us. This is how we can prosper in all our ways. Unfortunately, despite all the awareness that God gave Israel, they still follow on their own desire and also the customs of those around them, forsaking his commands. Today, we found ourselves in the same position, following in the same footsteps, forgetting his warnings, his word, and still following after our own hearts. This is not a message of condemnation, but one to reflect and examine our lives, a call to meditate on the words of Adonai. You may be asking, what is he talking about? I'm talking about idolatry. So how does idolatry look like today? Well, according to Webster's Dictionary, idolatry is the worship of idols or excessive devotion to or reverence for some person or thing. We no longer bow down to idols and images of or stone or wood. Instead, we worship at the altar of self. Man has replaced the worship of idols of wood and stone for modern idols such as things, money, career, gadgets, among others. Exodus 20, verses 3 and 6 says it this way: "You are to have no other gods before me. You are not to make for yourselves a carved image of any kind of representation of any in heaven above, or in the earth beneath, or in the water below the shoreline. You are not to bow down to them or serve them. For I, Adonai, your God, I'm a jealous God, punishing the children for the sins of the parents to the third and fourth generation of those who hate me, but displaying grace to the thousand generations of those who love me and obey my commands." Interestingly enough, in the same Torah portion that we have today, in verses 15 and 18, we read, "But Israel grew fat and kick. He abandoned God, his maker. He scorned the rock, his salvation. They roused him to jealousy with alien gods, provoked him with abominations. They sacrificed to demons, non-gods, gods that have never known. New gods that had come up lately, which your ancestor had not feared. You ignored the rock, the father, you. You forgot God who gave you birth. I experienced what we just read about. God took me from a financial desert and opened a door to a very profitable business. Let me share some of the details. I have been a part of the transportation industry for 28 years and have worked as a company driver, owner operator, fleet owner with my own authority, and I'm presently work at the corporate level. A few years back, out of nothing, God opened a huge door to lease one truck to run a dedicated account that offered great profits and time at home. The company that I leased the truck to was so pleased with the services that I provided that in less than 2 months, they asked me to put two more trucks in the same account. In less than 1 year, I had five trucks running on this account. Before this whole thing happened, I was very close to God. And when this opportunity came about, I knew it was all because of Him. Little by little, the more the business grew, I spent less and less time with Him. I began to trust more in my own abilities rather than relying on God who made it happen. Not long after that, I was in total control. At least that's what I thought. I knew what I was doing, and I no longer needed His help. The blessing that God had provided became the object of my adoration. It became the very thing that consumed all my time. Don't get me wrong, I was not bowing down or worshiping the equipment. But it did take all my time. Worst of all, I thought I was doing the right thing. After all, I was doing it for my family. Or was I? The sad reality is that I was at the altar of self. I became the center of my life and was not different than any of our ancestors. I found myself in the desert. I have to be careful here. I am not saying that having a business or working hard or achieving goals are bad things. Not at all. All I am saying is that everyone needs to guard against being consumed in whatever it is you do. We have to be careful not to get so involved with what we do that we no longer have God as the center of our lives. We must not replace God for our businesses or careers. All our labors and accomplishments will be of no use to us after we die. And Solomon put it quite eloquently in Ecclesiastes 2, 21 and 23. Here's a man whose work is done with wisdom, knowledge, and skill. Yet he has to leave it to someone who has put no work into it. This is not only pointless, but a great evil. For what does a person get from all his efforts and ambitions permeating the work he does under the sun? His whole life is one of pain, and his work is full of stress. I know that. Even at night, his mind gets no rest. This too is pointless. As most of you can imagine, the amount of stress became part of my life after having total control was beyond anything I have ever experienced. Quickly, things went south, drivers not showing up on time, lots not getting delivered, et cetera, et cetera. As a result, income collapsed, payments fell behind, and in a matter of a couple of months, the leasing company wanted all their equipment back. I knew the end was near. I recall praying and asking God for direction, for a solution. I also told Him that if letting go of that business was the best solution for my life, and the restoration of my relationship with him, I was ready to do it. It seems like a bad thing, but it was the best thing that ever happened. It made me think, meditate, take inventory. More importantly, it brought me to my knees, and it was there that he showed me what happened. It was there that repentance came, and I surrendered it all and prayed for his will to be done, no matter what the consequences were. Long story short, I did lose the business, had to return all the equipment, and it appeared as if I was going to acquire a great amount of debt because of the duration of the leases. Incredible enough, in his great mercy, Adonai cleared the entire account. Don't ask me how. The leasing company took all the equipment, and I have nothing left to pay. Adonai wants us to be free from the bondage of idolatry. And David clearly understood the importance and need to have Adonai first, and he said it this way in 2 Samuel 22, 3 and 4, as we read today. Adonai is my rock, my fortress and deliverer, the God who is my rock, in whom I shelter, my shield, the power that saves me, my stronghold and my refuge, my Savior, who saved me from violence. I call on Adonai, who is worthy of praise. I am saved from my enemies. Our hearts and minds must be centered on God and on others. Therefore, when asked, what the greatest commandment is, Yeshua replied, "You are to love Adonai your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength." And the second is similar to it. "You are to love your neighbor as yourself." When we love the Lord and others with everything that is in us, there will be no room for idolatry. It is this type of faith that we need to move forward, to avoid the lack of faith. And having this type of faith and trust is not easy. In the Brit Hadashah portion, we see how Thomas struggled with this faith. He walked with Yeshua. He saw the miracles, the transformations. He knew of the resurrection. And yet, as many of us will not believe until we could see solid proof. And as we read in today's Brit Hadashah portion in verses 26 and 27, a week later, his Talmudim were once more in the room. And this time, Thomas was with them. Although the doors were locked, Yeshua came, stood among them and said, "Shalom Aleichem." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger in here. Look at my hands. Take your hand and put it in my side. Don't be lacking in trust, but have trust." Yeshua's words to Thomas echo today. We must not be lacking in trust, but have trust. We must trust in him in all that we do. He must be first in everything. He must be my rock, my fortress, my deliverer, my shelter, my shield, my stronghold, and my refuge. My one and only God, no others beside him. I want to leave you with the following words from the Torah portion today, found in Deuteronomy 32, 46, and 47. take to heart all the words of my testimony against you today, so that you can use them in charging your children to be careful to obey all these words in this Torah. For this is not a trivial matter for you. On the contrary, it is your life. Thank you.
Powerful, yes? Strong testimony. Rabbi Uri Cantor Aaron, I want to invite you up here. Please join me. We have a custom of presenting a certificate of bar mitzvah and also planting a tree in Israel and praying over our bar mitzvah and then having photo ops. So let me read to you certificate of bar mitzvah presented by Beth Israel Messianic Synagogue to Nelson Geraldo, who, having completed the required studies, was called to the Torah and confessed his personal faith in Messiah Yeshua as a bar mitzvah on Tishrei 13, 5779, corresponding to September 22nd, 2018. Beautiful certificates.
Yes.
And then a tree has been planted in honor of Nelson Geraldo in celebration of your bar mitzvah by Beth Israel Messianic Synagogue, planted in the land of Israel, with the partnership from the Jewish National Fund. So there's a tree somewhere with your name on it. Now there's the second tree, right? Pretty soon we'll have the Nelson Geraldo Forest. Congratulations.
Give a microphone.
We'll get a microphone as well. And we're going to pray over Nelson and ask the Lord's continued blessings on him. And as we're doing that, Candy, do you want to come up too?
Yes.
Let me put it this way. Candy, come up. And let's gather around them. Lord, we thank you for Nelson. We thank you for Candy. We thank you for the love of God that you've put in them, for the courage and the faith that you've put in them. And we pray that you would continue to grow them strong in you and to use them for many good things, to encourage, to edify, to strengthen, to exhort your people to follow after you all the days of their lives. Thank you, Lord. Let this day be a sweet memory, and let it be a great blessing for them, we pray. Thank you, Lord.
It's been my honor to work with you, Nelson, and I pray that God always keep you safe, that he bless you and your family, that he keeps you strong in your faith as you move forward, and that he use you as an instrument to be an example for all those around you, that you maintain your strength, and that we can, that he can help you come together with us so that we can continue our interesting conversations and deciding who knows best what Moses really meant. Okay. May God bless you and always keep you.
Hey Lord, thank you so much for Nelson. Thank you for his life. Thank you for Candy. Thank you for Joshua, Lord, for their beautiful family, Lord. Lord, we ask for your blessing upon them, Lord, for your protection upon them, Lord, for your presence in their family, Lord. Thank you for calling on his life, Lord, and let it be so obvious for others, Lord. Your light and your calling in his life. We are blessing him, B'Shem Yeshua HaMashiach, as your congregation, Lord. And we thank you for him. We thank you for his family, Lord. Thank you for new beginnings, Lord. You are Lord of new beginnings. You are Lord of hope, even in hopeless situations, Lord. Thank you for the testimony in his life. We bless him, B'Shem Yeshua HaMashiach. Amen.